Good evening and welcome to Outsources. I'm your host, Karen Rayforth. This evening, we have two guests with us who are either current or former members of the Outsources Collective. In talking about allies, we have Glenda Russell, psychologist, historian, researcher, and LGBTQ activist, and an occasional contributor to Outsources, former founding member, and Joel Edelstein, currently an award winner of the Clela Rorex Ally Award, along with KGNU, former political science professor, KGNU former news director, current host and producer of Connections and of Outsources. So welcome, Glenda and Joel. Today, we're going to talk about allies. Always a wonderful and loaded topic. We need allies. We can see them as the other person or the other entity or the other group. We need them. We embrace them. And sometimes we're skeptical of them or suspicious of them. We need to be allies, and we may be seen as allies or we may be not. What we need or want and expect of allies, how we treat allies, what works, what doesn't work with allies, who are allies. It's really changed over the years. Can be combining resources for a mutual purpose or a common interest into something much more active about promoting a particular culture of inclusion or a particular agenda. There's just so many ways you may be seen as a helper or that might be seen as a problem. So let's just start out with what does allies or what does an ally mean to each of you?
I'll jump in because it makes sense to sort of start early by talking about why the two of us are, why Joel and I are here together. And one of the reasons Joel is here is because Joel recently was named as the winner of the Clela Rorex Allies in Action Award by Out Boulder County at its recent garden party. And that's an annual award that they give to people who are allies and who are deemed to have done some significant work in that's of benefit to the LGBTQ community in particular and to social justice in general. You know, when I think about Joel's nomination for that award, I think about a couple of things that are relevant to your question about what's an ally. And one of the things is Joel has unselfishly volunteered his time for literally years to help Outsources, this program that you're listening to right now, come to you on a weekly basis. And he has done that with people, many of whom didn't know a thing about being on the radio or any of the production responsibilities or technical demands. And he has done it with great patience. And so that's one part. He did a whole lot of stuff that helped us, right? You know, that's what allies do. But allies do something else as well. And that is, I think allies make sure to be engaged and available, but allies also don't center themselves in the project of social change. They center the people in the particular group to which they are allied. And I think both of those things are really important aspects of being an ally. You need to do something. It's not just enough to say, I'm an ally, isn't that nice? Well, that's nice, but it's not enough. But the other thing is, you want to be an ally in a particular way that doesn't put you at the center of everything that's going on. And I think Joel is an exemplar of both of those things, and therefore was very deserving of receiving the Allies in Action Award.
Amen.
So now, Joel, I put you on the spot.
Well, it just was amazing to me to be nominated for this award and to receive it. And really, it is an award to KGNU, first and foremost, for being there for the LGBTQ community. We don't have any competition in broadcasting to the queer community. There is no other radio station in Colorado that's doing that. And KGNU was recognized for being the station who does. And I've believed in KGNU since I first was a guest on another show in 1979 and became a volunteer myself in 82. And I think that KGNU getting this recognition is wonderful. Also, it happens that Outsources is, in my opinion, the very best production collective that KGNU has and should be recognized for that, in addition to the fact that we serve the needs of the queer community, that I happen to be in a place to help out with that and get this recognition is really just, I'm so impressed with it. But the thing of allies, people will say that marriage equality, oh, well, that's a queer issue. No, it's not just a queer issue. And Roe v. Wade is not just a women's issue. And it seems that we are divided up in so many ways to dilute our strength, and that what we share is an appreciation, even a passion for justice. And that means different things to different communities. But that, I think, is what unites us, a sense that people should be free to realize in their lives what they can as they see it, and that we're in favor of that, and in favor of it in many different ways for many different communities.
That's a really great statement, Joel. And as someone who has done years worth of research on allies, you've just put forward one of the things that's really important. There's a distinction that I came up with in my research, and other people have since come up with it as well. And that's there are two kinds of allies. This is allies in general. One kind of ally is that I think you could call it a situational ally. I've called it a role or relationship ally in some of my work. But it's an ally who gets involved in a particular group because somebody asks them, or they have a relative who is in that group, and they don't have a broad-based political analysis or a terribly passionate a connection to what they're doing necessarily. I mean, they'll come in and do something and then they leave. And I think what you just pointed out is the other type of ally, which is an ally who is bound to a particular kind of work because they have a passion that may be about justice, that may be about a moral or a religious kind of understanding of how you want to be in community. Those are the kind of, those are the motives writ very large, and they're anything but circumstantial. They are really about, here's how I want the world to be, and here's what I want to do with my life in terms of purpose. And so naturally, I'm going to be that kind of an ally. And I think you're that kind of an ally. KGNU, I think, is that kind of an ally as an organization. So I really agree with you, and I hope that sort of amplifies Outsources' appreciation of you.
I mean, I think that we are, clearly, I don't have the life experience of queer people. And how I see the world, it will be from a somewhat different perspective, but that doesn't change our mutual desire for a society which is welcoming and is a venue for queer people to live their lives in the best way they can.
Yep, mm-hmm. Agreed. It's an interesting thing because I think one of the things that you point out is that, you know, you don't have the experience of being a queer person, and you do have the experience of having a huge motivation to support all groups, especially groups that are marginalized in any way. And I think one of the things that is clear is that those differing perspectives can actually be really valuable. I learn things from allies that I don't know myself, because every one of us has a position from which we see things, and that's nice. And when we put our positions together with the positions of other people who are looking at the same phenomena, we have more possibilities for seeing how to understand the problems and how to solve problems. So there's a real value. There can be a real value in having a combination of those different perspectives. The research would suggest that the more we talk about them, the more you're likely to take care of of the value of combining those perspectives and not just relying on one perspective.
Mm-hmm. You know, for me, in my own individual history, I mean, let's face it, I started in my formative years were in the 1950s in New Jersey as a white male middle class. I mean, what would you predict or expect? Would I be homophobic? I think there'd be a pretty good chance. Would I be racist? Yeah, I think there'd be a pretty good chance. Would I be sexist?
Yes.
And it's strange because I think my first kind of challenge to the sort of default orientations that I had growing up was when my girlfriend said, let's go to this demonstration. This was 1959, and near Fort Monmouth Army Base, there were apartments that would not rent to Black people. Now, what was my view of Black people? I only knew one person who was Black and didn't know him very well. And what I saw on TV and the way people around me talked, I was racist. But that's still the idea that these people could not rent an apartment was atrocious. And while there was, in my perspectives, there was racism still there. And when I went down to Tennessee in 1963 and lived with sharecroppers who were trying to get the right to vote, I had the experience of being afraid of white people. Remember driving a back farm road, and up on this little hill comes a car. And then I look and, wow, there's white people in that car. Let us run. Mm. Was I completely free of racism as a civil rights activist? Not really. And then my wife and I struggled, we discovered the feminine mystique and the new feminism in the 60s. And together, we're trying to confront, well, how do we do housework? And, what does that all mean? And then it was really in the 80s when I met one gay person and got to know her very well and got to know her gay friends. And that was an important move for me and coming to an understanding of people who are queer. And so it's been a long journey, and I do see those all having something to do with each other. I just did want to say that I am so honored to actually have an award that carries the name of Clela Rorix. In 1975, when she issued the first marriage licenses to a same-sex couple in the United States, she got hate mail. She got threats. I mean, being an ally in 2022 is a piece of cake compared to what Clela Rorix did. And not only was that, she was such a cool person. She passed away just a week or two ago.
Your example about Clela getting hate mail and your own observation about when you were working for voting rights in Tennessee, you said?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Those that have in common the experience that allies often have, and that is, we use the term courtesy stigma for it, which is a great term. People in these groups are stigmatized, and the person who gives up temporarily or permanently gives up some of their privilege to work with the people who are in the marginalized groups get courtesy stigma. They get treated in ways that are similar. So suddenly you had reason to be afraid of white people when you were doing voting rights work in Tennessee. And Clela Rorix certainly had the experience of having people say awful, mean, threatening things to her, though she was a straight woman in 1975, and since as well, for that matter. And that is one of the prices that sometimes comes with allyship. That is, you get treated in a way that mirrors or mimics how people in the group to whom you're allied have been getting treated all along.
Mm-hmm. Which I think is a is so emblematic of leaping forward your understanding of folks that you're working with and that you're trying to be allies with, and learning why maybe you can't always be a helper, but sometimes you need to be with the group and understand. And I think it's kind of a bizarre gift in some ways, as you were saying, Joel, to be afraid of white people. And I know when I was living in Mississippi, I certainly learned that white people who came in to work on behalf of the Black people of Mississippi were considered the lowest kind of person in the state, way below that you had given up your white privilege and membership. And that's very eye-opening. And it's a special insight that most people don't get, that are in the majority of in whatever identity or group that they belong in or they belong to. So I think it's like a gift of learning. And I think that's part of the benefit of allyship that most of us don't go into it looking for, but that you get, which is insight and knowledge and understanding of your world and other people's.
Yeah, that's very true.
If you're just joining us, this is Outsources. I'm your host, Karen Rayforth. We've been talking with Glenda Russell, psychologist, historian, researcher, LGBTQ activist, and occasional contributor to Outsources, as well as a current member, Joel Edelstein, and current Ally Award winner of the Clela Rorex Ally Award, along with KGNU from Out Boulder. Joel's also a former political science professor, KGNU news director, and current host and producer of Connections and Outsources. We've been talking about different kinds of allies. We've talked a little bit about our histories as allies, courtesy stigmas, the prices of allies, and we're going to move into things about context and changes in language and more. What about this whole piece about there's allyship, and then there's some folks that are pointing things out like, I don't want your help. What I want is you to join me. I want a co-conspirator. I want an accomplice. And I find people are sometimes confused about that message and the way it's delivered, but what's the meaning of that? How do you both understand that dialogue there that's going on in the different communities?
I mean, one of the things that Joel's example pointed out, you know, when he made a contrast between things that he does now as an ally and things that Clela did back in the early 70s as an ally, is the context really changes what's called forth from an ally. Just as the context really influences, you know, what it's like to be a member of the target group. For instance, you know, it's very different for me now being a lesbian than it was being a lesbian in 1974, really different. And so what allies are called upon to do is also really different and in different locations and at different times. Mm-hmm. And I think that's important to remember. And I think one of the things that we're seeing with some push for language change is we've seen examples of being an ally to different groups. It doesn't quite fit what this particular context calls for, I think. And so people are looking for other ways to talk about it and other ways to understand it. And so they're thinking about questions like, I'm not here as the recipient of your good works. Don't come and volunteer for me, and don't come and sort of feel good about yourself because you do something for me. I think one of the things that happens with that language and that challenge that's inherent in that language is the invitation to really do that second kind of ally that I was talking about earlier, which is a really get into the values of this and really think about what this means underneath. Don't just come and, you know, serve food. although that could be a very useful thing, but come and serve food with the awareness that you have things to learn, that you have things to undo in yourself, like the racism and sexism and homophobia that Joel was alluding to earlier, which we all have, and come in a way that you understand that you get something out of this too. This is not just something you're doing for me because you're a nice person and I'm a really helpless person. I mean, one of the things I really dislike about some ways we do allydom is I have to be beholden and I have to owe you something and I have to feel like I'm a wreck and I'm powerless. And that's not I don't want that dynamic in my life. And so I don't want that coming at me from allies, nor do I want that dynamic to be what I take into situations where I am the ally. So I think it's really about looking at values and moving toward allydom in a way that really respects the how much people have to get and how much people have to give without needing there to be, you know, a miserable person. I want allies who can appreciate the joy in my community and the joy in my individual life, as well as those who appreciate that there's oppression that needs to be fought against.
Well, I don't know if I'm stepping on toes, but I don't view the cause of rights for queer people as the sole property of the queer community.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, I think that there's a difference in our relationship to queer rights. It's not as though if I'm doing something to forward queer rights, that puts you in any debt to me or anything like that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because really, it's the quality of the society that I live in and my kids live in depends in part on whether there are rights for all of us.
Amen. Amen. Yep. We only have about a minute for each of you. If you want to say any last words, it's hard to believe we have zoomed through this time. Is there any last word you want to get out about ally? There's so many things we never got to. So,
well, we can talk about it again, but I'll just say the thing I have to say before we end is thanks and congratulations to Joel and KG and you for being selected for the Clela Rorick's Allies in Action Award. The award is well deserved by both the person and the organization.
Well, I think it's great that KGNU and Outsources have gotten this recognition. And it's, I would say, I mean, I retired from my paid position as news director in 2014. And before that, I figured that Outsources was part of my job. And before I was the paid staff news director, I was a volunteer. And since I left that, I've been a volunteer ever since. And that one of the reasons for sticking around is not only I believe in Outsources, but the people. I mean, everyone has their own lives and their own perspectives. But let's face it, we're all to some degree political people. We have a concern for our community as a whole. And it is just wonderful to me to have the time that I spend with the other members of the collective, who are just great in so many ways, not just as radio producers.
Well, I think that's one of the wonderful benefits about being an ally is all the enrichment that one gets. I think that's one of the themes we've talked about. There's many more things we could have touched on. There's so many ways to feel despairing at this point in our lives, but I think the whole concept of having allies gives us all some hope and some strength to keep up the good fight and continue on making this a better place in which to live. And I think that's the important part to keep touching about allies and how important we are to them and they are to us. So you've been listening to Outsources this evening. I've been your host, Karen Rayforth, and we've had Glenda Russell and Joel Edelstein as our main speakers this evening in our discussion of allies. Tune in every Monday night at 6:30 on KGNU. And you can go on KGNU's website and see many outsources from the past. And in fact, you might want to look into the Ally series that Glenda Russell and Janice Bohan did over the past few years that are very enlightening about allies. So this is not a new topic for us. This is many hours you could listen on the outsources on kgnu.org. You can also stream it on that same site. We've got a KGNU app, and there's our news blog as well at news.kgnu/outsources. Listen in on every Monday night at 6:30, or find us anytime on the app. Good evening, and take care of yourselves.